Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now on Fox 50, shock and grief after a car plows into a migrant shelter, killing eight people in Texas. The new information we're learning as authorities work to figure out if the driver had a motive.
Some AT&T customers in the Triangle are dealing with an internet outage that has lasted for days. We'll look at how the company is responding.
And tomorrow we have a risk for severe storms. It's a WRAL weather alert day. We'll walk through the timeline for those storms coming up. Also, President Biden is working to boost your rights and set new rules for airlines. We'll have more on that story for you on your Monday morning. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making us part of your routine here as we get our Monday started. It is humid outside. You can notice that. A huge difference from what we had last week going on in Elizabeth Gardner and the WRAL Severe Weather Center with that severe risk in our area.
Yeah, this is for tomorrow. So it's a WRAL Weather Alert Day for tomorrow. We're going to walk through the timeline for that coming up. The biggest threat would be wind damage, and it's likely to be afternoon and evening for that level one and two risk. Right now we have a little bit of rain that's just back to our west. It's going to be a tiny sprinkle that's going to move into Moore County here, possibly into Hope County. It's really been dissipating as it's marching eastward, so there's very little, if any, rain that's actually going to fall out of that. But just want to let you know. Here's a look at what happens for us as we get through the day today. We will likely have some breaks in the clouds as we get closer to lunchtime, but then we'll have some isolated showers and thunderstorms that pop up for today. We're not under a level one risk for severe storms today, but we definitely have the potential for some scattered storms, especially from the Triangle area south and east. That begins right around or just after lunchtime and is pretty much out of here by around 7 to 8 o'clock this evening. And then we'll have round two that develops for tomorrow. That comes along with the cold front. A lot of the models are showing very little rain with this at this point. This is a new run of this version of the long range models, which isn't showing much rain. And the short range models are also showing some pretty dry conditions along this front, but it will bring plenty of lift. The question is, will it bring any moisture with it? So it'll be interesting to see around lunchtime is when the Storm Prediction Center often updates its level one risk. And so we'll see if there are any changes and let you know during our new newscast or before, if we see them before that. 68 right now, so it's warm. It is muggy. It's mostly cloudy, but we should see a bit more sunshine closer to lunchtime. But then we'll have the thunderstorms that start to pop up. Our highs this afternoon are in the upper 80s, and it'll feel closer to 90 degrees, Brian.
802 right now, and we have our first crash of the morning reported in Wake County. This is up in the Rollsville area on Lewisburg Road, right around Jonesville Road. The sensors here are not showing any delays. I've seen some other sensor data in the past couple of minutes indicating a little bit of a backup there on the Rollsville bypass, but not talking about big delays at this point. Also, reports of a minor crash on Six Forks Road at Hilmer Drive, which is not too far from Atlantic Avenue, just north of downtown Raleigh. We'll head out to the Beltline at Capitol Boulevard. That slower traffic that you see heading toward the left side of your screen, that is on the westbound side of 440, and it's a little congested typically this time of day. And you can see the backup showing up there from 87 out toward the Capitol Boulevard interchange. About a six-minute backup showing up overall on that trip from 87 around to Wade Avenue. Seeing some slow traffic coming in from Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard, about a 6 to 10 minute delay showing up there on those sensor readings. Good news, though, in Knightdale, we're moving along pretty quickly on 87 southbound with no delays through 540. The usual backups on 40 westbound, about a 6 minute slowdown overall from 440 out toward US 1. Most of that right around the Lake Wheeler Road interchange. In Durham right now, we're looking good on 85, I-40, and both directions of 885 are clear.
Thank you, Brian. This morning, we'll get an update on the driver who plowed into a shelter for migrants and homeless people. Police in Brownsville, Texas, will give an update on their investigation at 11:30 this morning. We now know at least eight people are dead. Surveillance video obtained by CNN shows the moments before the crash early Sunday morning. The victims were waiting at a bus stop near the shelter when the driver crashed right into them. Authorities say they don't yet know whether the driver hit the people on purpose. A suspect who is charged with reckless driving is in a hospital under 24-hour surveillance. And the crash comes as the number of migrants increase at the border. This ahead of Title 42 expiring next week. More border agents and troops are there right now preparing for the influx. President Joe Biden announced last week that 1,500 troops would be at the border to support local patrols. We've learned a good bit of the troops are coming from Camp Lejeune right here in North Carolina.
The new work week is starting with a lot of folks in the Triangle frustrated with an internet outage. WRAL's Michael Grace is in Durham with what AT&T is saying about the cause and how long this could last.
Yeah, the AT&T outage is affecting people in Durham and Chapel Hill, and it could be several days until everyone's back online. Now, a number of you viewers had been calling and emailing into WRAL telling us about the issue, some even saying they hadn't had service since Wednesday. AT&T estimated the repair could take 3 to 7 business days or more, depending on how many customers are affected. They said the problem may stem from a fiber optic problem in the area. Some remote workers we spoke with said they've even had to use vacation days and that the lack of communication has been frustrating.
I called. They also said they didn't know what was going on or couldn't tell me an estimated time it would be back up.
And we are planning on reaching back out to AT&T this morning to hopefully get another update on when those repairs should be done. In Durham, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
New refund rules will be announced today in an effort to better protect you when your flight is canceled or delayed. WRAL's Laura Levine joins us from RDU with what we expect the Biden administration to announce in just a few hours. Laura.
Michelle, good morning. As we know, it has been a challenging year for many travelers dealing with flight cancellations, delays, many of them right here at RDU, spending a lot of time here because of it. The Biden administration will share new details today that will help people who may experience this in the near future. This discussion really began last summer. That's when the Biden administration proposed refunds for travelers hit with major flight delays. The Transportation Department wants to require airlines to offer passengers their money back if their flight schedule is changed significantly or if the airline makes some major changes to their itinerary. Currently, most passengers are only offered vouchers from airlines. A woman flying out this morning heading to Houston tells me this would make a great safety net.
A lot goes into like going on a trip even before you fly. So like you have to do all the packing and prep work. So to do all that and to then not be able to like make your trip, I think it's only like responsible that you get reimbursed for that.
So President Biden is expected to share more details on what this rule could look like when he speaks today at 1:45. Laura Levine, WRAL News, live at RDU.
A vigil is growing outside the Texas Outlet Mall where a gunman killed 8 people Saturday. The FBI is asking for anyone who has video or any other information about what happened there to bring it to their investigation. Authorities executed a search warrant last night at the suspected shooter's home. Neighbors say 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia was quiet and kept to himself. 8 people died, 7 others were hurt in that shooting at the Allen Premium Outlets north of Dallas. Police shot and killed the gunman. People who gathered at the vigil mourned and shared their disbelief.
I'm trying not to get angry, you know, trying to find the light in the darkness, so to speak. But yeah, it's surreal, very surreal. You don't realize evil's everywhere.
One of those people killed in the shooting was Christian LaCour, working as a security guard at the mall. The Gun Violence Archive says there have been 199 mass shootings in the U.S. already this year. Vice President Kamala Harris is renewing the call for new gun legislation after the Texas shooting. In a statement, she says all Americans deserve to be safe from gun violence. She's calling for a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, as well as for universal background checks.
Starting today, thousands of teens were able to get their driver's licenses sooner. A new law going into effect today says teenagers will only need a permit for 6 months instead of a year before getting a driver license for the rest of 2023. Lawmakers drafted the change after pressure from parents and criticism of long DMV wait lines. Governor Roy Cooper did not sign the bill, saying it would make roads less safe. But he also did not veto it, so it's now law. Starting next year, teen drivers will need to have their permit for 9 months before getting a license. The Carolina Hurricanes are looking ahead to Game 4 of their playoff series with the New Jersey Devils, and they're trying to forget Game 3. The Canes went down big early yesterday in New Jersey and ended up on the losing end of an 8-4 score. Head coach Rod Brind'Amour said it was a disappointing performance.
They came and they took it to us, and that's what happened. So we were horrible. I mean, that's probably putting it mild, but because of what they were doing, and they were the better team.
The Canes still have a 2-1 lead in the best of 7 series. Game 4 will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in New Jersey. And WREL's very own Casey Hintz is there in New Jersey. She'll have reports for us tomorrow on the Canes.
A bill over the best way to serve people with disabilities is getting pushback from a key watchdog group. Just ahead, why lawmakers say the pushback is a way to force the state to pay millions of dollars in lawsuits.
Plus, a look at how later start times could be better for your students' mental health. And a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar this morning. Just a little sprinkle is starting to move there into Moore County. A lot of that will dissipate, but we do have the potential for some thunderstorms this afternoon. I'll walk you through the timeline.
Eight 13 is the time right now. We give you a live look from one of our WRL Live Cam Network cameras. That's Carolina Beach, and that is just gorgeous here. I know, it's a little humid in the triangle, and you head down towards the beach for some relief as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Now, we have a few looks around town here with Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center. They kind of don't look as good as that, right?
They don't, and I personally can attest to that because I was just there yesterday, and it was such a pretty day. But it was a beautiful day here, too. I mean, everybody got to enjoy a gorgeous weekend. I know folks are out and about getting out and enjoying it for sure. We're looking at some cloud cover this morning. You can see it in Goldsboro and in Apex as well as Chapel Hill. That's a look at our Fayetteville newsroom. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We're going to see those clouds dissipating a little bit on and off through the afternoon, but a round of thunderstorms does pop up later on today. Tomorrow, we have a WRL weather alert day because we're under a level 1 and 2 severe weather threat. That's because of this cold front that's going to drop in on us. This is a look at the big picture right now, and there definitely have been some thunderstorms that were reaching severe criteria. You can see that line of thunderstorms that's moving through the southern part of Illinois there. Lots and lots of lightning with that. What we're seeing right now is a tiny shower that's getting ready to move into the southern part of Moore County. For the most part, as this was trying to move eastward, it was dissipating. Still, a lot of this may evaporate before it reaches the ground. But you've got a chance of a sprinkle, light shower in Pinehurst, Carthage, Bass. We'll see how much farther it holds together, if it holds together any farther eastward. The models don't have a good handle on that little bit of rain that's moving in our southern county. So we'll see how things go around lunchtime. Could be an isolated shower. Some thunderstorms pop up today. This is 3 p.m. You can see a few of those up around Roxboro, but for the most part during the afternoon, especially after 5 o'clock, it's down here in our southern counties, Fayetteville, Clinton, Goldsboro, and then it slides east of us by just after or around 7. Let's take a look at tomorrow. Tomorrow's all about this cold front, and the models have been pretty consistent now in showing a lot of drying ahead of this, and so while there is a front there that could provide plenty of lift for thunderstorms, it just doesn't seem to be a lot of moisture lingering with this. You can see at 4 o'clock, maybe slight chance of a thunderstorm well south and east of the Triangle area. So we'll see if the Storm Prediction Center begins to trim that level 1 and level 2 risk as the models are really trending drier with this. If it happens, we would have low to medium risk of damaging winds. Tornadoes and flooding aren't likely, but hail, there's a small chance for some hail. Not talking about a lot of rain from the storms today and that small chance tomorrow. We're probably talking our southern counties, maybe a 1/4 inch to 1/2 inch, and maybe a 1/10 inch in Raleigh. Anything north of that looks like it's likely to stay fairly dry. And again, we continue to trend pretty dry for tomorrow. But as long as we're under a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms, we're going to keep that weather alert day intact. Big changes for us middle of the week after the front comes through. It'll be drier, cooler, less humid, feeling great Wednesday and Thursday. Friday will be a nice day too. Over the weekend, the humidity and the heat comes back just in time for Mother's Day, and there'll be a few late day isolated storms both Saturday and Sunday. Brian?
It is 8:16 right now as we take a look at traffic. We've had a few more crashes pop up here in the last couple of minutes, including a report of a crash on 885 right around Cornwallis Road on the south side of Durham, picking up a little bit of a delay in both directions of 885 now between I-40 and Cornwallis. Also a report of a crash on Fayetteville Road or 401 near the US 70 merge in Garner. It looks like that may be in a parking lot. And a report of a crash in the past few minutes on Davie Street at the 200 block of West Davie Street downtown in Raleigh. In Rollsville, watch for a crash on the Rollsville bypass there right around Jonesville Road. Not seeing any delays on the sensors right right now in that area. Just north of downtown Raleigh, a minor crash getting cleared right now from Six Forks at Hilmer. That's not too far from the Wake Forest Road intersection. Not seeing any big delay showing up on sensors. In Clayton, I'm watching backups on 42 westbound right around the Amelia Church Road intersection. Reports of a crash there as you head away from Clayton back toward the Clayton bypass. Major routes for the most part around the triangle are still in pretty good shape. Just a little bit of a backup showing up in both directions of Capitol Boulevard right around Wake Forest Road. Do want to give you a quick heads up about a sewer line repair on Millbrook Road. On that westbound side, the right lane is going to be closed from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. today and tomorrow between Creedmoor and Ponderosa. Just need to expect maybe a little bit of a backup there on westbound Millbrook.
Happening now in the WRA Live Center, we want to take you to these live pictures coming in from Austin, Texas. That's Texas Governor Greg Abbott holding a news conference that started about a half hour ago, and he's talking about border security. As we've been reporting all morning long, the Biden administration plans to send about 1,500 troops to the border to help with patrols. But this morning, the governor is going over what his plans are to secure the Texas border with Mexico. He's calling in the National Guard that will be conducting an operation over the next several days, helicopter operations looking for anyone trying to cross the border illegally. The Department of Transportation is also involved. By the way, Title 42 ends on May 11th. That was a COVID era policy that was put in place to allow border agents to send immigrants back to Mexico and other countries because of health concerns. That ends May 11th.
All right, Ken, thank you. Golf icon Tiger Woods is being accused of sexual harassment. In a newly filed court document, Woods is accused of pursuing a sexual relationship with Erica Herman while she worked for him. She claims he also forced her to sign a non-disclosure agreement or she'd be fired. Tiger Woods and Herman dated for more than 5 years. This is the second complaint that she's brought up over the past year against the 15-time golf champion.
FDA is issuing an urgent recall for some at-home COVID-19 tests due to bacteria concerns. Now, the warning involves very specific batches of SD Bion Sensors pilot kits. The tests were distributed by Roche Diagnostics to CVS and Amazon. If you have these products, you should throw them out immediately. And according to the FDA, throw them in the garbage. You should not pour this liquid down the drain.
A fight over the best way to serve people with disabilities in North Carolina has spilled over into the state legislature. A bill would require Disability Rights North Carolina to file reports with the General Assembly. But the bill isn't just about reports. Lawmakers say they're trying to drag the watchdog group into the negotiating table over a series of lawsuits and a push to help more people with disabilities live at home. The effort could cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars. This is a long-running debate across the country and a long-running fight in North Carolina. Our state government team broke it down in depth this week, and you can read that online right now on WREL.com.
Rising levels of anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts among teenagers continues causing alarm. To try to address the mental health crisis, some administrators are calling for a later start to the school day. Ted Linder takes a closer look at how this policy is playing out at one high school and why the idea could be spreading across the country.
Some educators believe a later start time for schools could help address the worsening mental health crisis affecting many teenagers. The concept is already underway at Upper Darby High School in Pennsylvania, where this year, administrators moved the start time back from 7:30 in the morning to 9:45.
I've been much happier in the mornings. I've been more positive, and I've come to school smiling more rather than, you know, grudging out of bed and stuff like that at 7:30.
Because people go through large spurts of physical and mental developments during their teenage years, the National Institutes of Health says adolescents need roughly 9 to 10 hours of sleep every night to function at their best. Going to school later could give them more time to rest and better prepare for the day ahead of them.
People have the ability to satisfy their needs. They're just their basic human needs. Kids are sleeping more. Kids are eating breakfast.
But there's a small catch. While students at Upper Darby High School have a later start time, they still get out at 3. Some parents who oppose the delay say their kids are missing out on learning. But school administrators argue time is not going to waste, because students are expected to use some of their free time in the mornings to complete assigned remote work relating to their classes for the day.
It's more flexible. I get to do my homework whenever I really want.
California became the first and only state to mandate later school start times back in 2019. Now, at least 9 other states are considering similar legislation, with some schools in Denver, Philadelphia, and Anchorage, Alaska, also examining their options.
It was Ted Lindner reporting, and Wake County Public Schools is among many school districts across the nation that are considering new start times. It is unclear when or if they will make any changes.
And parents, your teenager can improve their mental and physical health for free this summer while they take a break from the books. Planet Fitness launched its third year of its high school summer pass program. It comes during Mental Health Awareness Month. The gym says the program is open to those ages 14 to 19. And today marks the start of Teacher Appreciation Week, a time to celebrate educators across the country. Many restaurants and other businesses offer special deals to teachers in celebration. And of course, students are encouraged to show their appreciation in the classroom as well. Coming up, it's National Stroke Awareness Month, and no age group is immune to having them.
And coming up, why one doctor says there is a rise in cases of stroke among younger adults and how to lower that risk.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Monday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. We are talking weather, all eyes on tomorrow for a WREL Weather Alert Day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner shows us who's in potential for a level 1 and 2 risk.
Level 1, you can see, spreads from up around Roanoke Rapids down here into the Sandhills. And then level 2 is along and east of I-95. And, of course, those are places that we could see damaging winds tomorrow. We also have the potential for a few isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. But we're starting with cloudy skies here in Chapel Hill. Town-by-town temperatures are in the 60s. You probably don't even need a jacket. 64 in Lewisburg, 69 in Fayetteville, 68 right now in Goldsboro. Walking the dog this morning feels pretty good out there. It's just a little on the gray side. Lunchtime, 81. We'll see afternoon highs in the upper 80s with a chance of some scattered storms during the afternoon and evening. So maybe the umbrella to walk the dog later on. Brian?
Taking a look at traffic here at 827. Looks like we have a crash blocking the center lane of northbound 885 right there at the Cornwallis Road Bridge in Durham. See some heavy delays coming in from I-40. Overall, we're measuring a 2-minute delay, but almost all of that is the 2-minute trip between I-40 up to Cornwallis Road. Once you get through that, you're in pretty good shape heading on up toward the 147 split. Watch for a crash on the Rollsville bypass right around Jonesville Road. Not seeing big delays right now, but you might see some activity, police activity there on the side of the road. And a crash reported at Six Forks Road right around Hilmer Drive, not too far from Wake Forest Road in Raleigh.
Thank you, Brian. An internet outage for AT&T is affecting people in Durham and Chapel Hill. They say the repair time could take 3 to 7 business days or more, depending on how many customers are affected. They said the problem may stem from a fiber optic problem in the area. Coming up next on Fox 50, the Canes are looking ahead to Game 4 of their playoff series with the New Jersey Devils. And then up next on Today, we have Hollywood legend Diane Keaton.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now, Fox 50, shock and grief after a car plows into a bus stop where migrant workers were waiting. 8 people died. The new information we're learning as authorities work to figure out if the driver had a motive.
And some AT&T customers in the Triangle are dealing with an internet outage that's lasted for days. We'll look at how the company is responding.
And tomorrow is a WRAL Weather Alert Day. We have the potential for some strong storms in the afternoon. I'll show you the timeline.
And guidelines for teens eligible to get their new driver's license. We'll explain a new law today, a change that'll put those young people on the road potentially sooner and make some parents more nervous out there on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff Hogan. It's good to have you with us.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Starting off a little cloudy on your Monday morning. Potential for some storms later today, but nothing compared to tomorrow. That's where we are looking ahead to. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, some areas under a level 1 and 2 risk for tomorrow.
And the level 1 risk is here spreading from the Triangle northward up toward Roanoke Rapids and southwest back over towards, say, Southern Pines and Pinehurst. And in the yellow is where we have a level 2 risk, of course, along and east of I-95. We take a look at our potential. Of course, it does look like afternoon and evening in terms of the timeline. Damaging winds would be the biggest threat. And of course, we have that level 1 and 2 risk. Right now, we're watching a little band of showers that's finally held together long enough to move into the Sand Hills right now, looking at the potential for a stray shower right here in Moore County. That may hold together for a little bit longer. Futurecast shows that a little bit farther south and east than it really is right now. So it doesn't have a great handle on that little shower, but it's going to be a quick little shower if we see any of it reaching the ground. By 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we begin to see some storms developing. And again, this is today. We have the level 1 risk for tomorrow, but today we could see some scattered storms that develop after lunchtime and begin to slide on out between, say, 7 and 8 p.m. Out of our viewing area, pushing off to the south and east. Here's a look at tomorrow. Tomorrow's all about our cold front sliding southward. The models, a lot of them are in pretty good agreement that there's not a lot of moisture left with the system as it moves on through, but potentially along and east of I-95, there could be some scattered storms tomorrow afternoon. Some of those could become strong to severe. Right now, we're looking at mainly cloudy skies as you're heading out the door, 68 degrees, so it's a mild start this morning, hour by hour. We'll hit 81 by lunchtime, and we'll be in the mid to upper 80s this afternoon. It's going to be really warm and sticky, and of course, we'll have a few thunderstorms that do pop up. Coming up, we're going to talk more about our severe weather threat for tomorrow.
Thanks, Elizabeth. The new work week is starting for a lot of people in the Triangle, frustrated with an internet outage. WRO's Michael Grace is in Durham with what AT&T is saying about the cause and how long this could last.
Yeah, the AT&T outage is affecting people in Durham and Chapel Hill, and it could be several days until everyone's back online. Now, a number of you viewers had been calling and emailing into WRAL telling us about the issue, some even saying they hadn't had service since Wednesday. AT&T estimated the repair could take 3 to 7 business days or more, depending on how many customers are affected. They said the problem may stem from a fiber optic problem in the area. Some remote workers we spoke with said they've even had to use vacation days and that the lack of communication has been frustrating.
I called. They also said they didn't know what was going on or couldn't tell me an estimated time it would be back up.
And we are planning on reaching back out to AT&T this morning to hopefully get another update on when those repairs should be done. In Durham, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Thousands of new and young drivers could hit the road a lot sooner starting today. That's because new permit changes take effect. WRAL's Naya Harden explains how long teens will have to carry their permit before trying for their license.
The big change is that a teen will now only have to have a permit for 6 months versus a year. And that means we can expect to see thousands of new drivers as early as today. The change is more about getting things back on track after COVID. Lawmakers say it's in response to parents still complaining about delays and wait times. Teens still need 60 hours of supervised driving with an adult and must pass a road test. Starting August 1st, new drivers will be able to take a friend to and from school. The governor did not sign off on this bill, saying it could make roads less safe, but he did not veto it either, so now it's law. The permit change is only temporary. Starting next year, the permit will have to be held for 9 months. Naya Harden, WRAL News in Garner.
This morning, we are getting an update on the driver who plowed into a bus shelter where migrant workers were waiting. Police in Brownsville, Texas, will give that update on the investigation at 11:30 this morning, and we know 8 people have died. Surveillance video obtained by CNN shows the moments before that crash early Sunday morning. The victims were waiting at a bus stop near the shelter when the driver crashed into them. Authorities say they don't know if the driver hit those people on purpose. That person is being charged with reckless driving and remains in a hospital under 24-hour surveillance. This crash comes as the number of migrants increases at the border ahead of Title 42 expiring this week. On Thursday, COVID-era asylum restrictions come to an end. And Doug Luzada reports federal officials are preparing for a massive surge of immigrants.
This may just be a preview of what we're in store for come Thursday. Hundreds of immigrants who just crossed into Texas near Brownsville, and an ominous warning from the union representing Border Patrol agents in this tweet. Our border is getting absolutely crushed and has been for over 2 years, with the worst yet to come.
We are prepared, number one.
The Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, who visited the border last week, says he's ready. But he has also repeatedly claimed that the border is already closed and secure. Many members of Congress from border states say the White House hasn't done enough.
The Biden administration had 2 years to prepare for this and did not do so. And our state is going to bear the brunt. And migrants will be in crisis as soon as next week.
And this week, we expect the first of a deployment of 1,500 U.S. troops to arrive at the border. Their mission will be very limited, helping relieve federal agents of administrative and logistics issues. They will not be involved, we're told, in any enforcement actions. President Biden, meantime, is pressing Congress for more resources.
I've asked this Congress for help in terms of what they need at the border. They need more agents. They need more people to clear people.
As Doug Luzada reporting, and the National Border Patrol Council says illegal crossings have been averaging more than 7,000 a day.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, Russia launching its biggest wave of drone strikes against Ukraine for months. Let's take a look at brand new video into our newsroom showing the heavy damage from dozens of Iranian-made kamikaze drones. That's according to the mayor of Kyiv. The drones targeted multiple targets across Ukraine, including 36 in the capital, Kyiv. The mayor says all those drones were shot down, but as you can see, debris hit apartments and other buildings, injuring at least five people on the ground. Now, this is coming all ahead of the major holiday in Russia tomorrow called Victory Day. That's Russia celebrating the defeat of Nazi Germany.
A vigil is growing outside the Texas Outlet Mall where a gunman killed eight people on Saturday. The FBI is asking for anyone who has video or any other information about what happened to step forward and help in their investigation. Authorities executed a search warrant last night at the suspected shooter's home. Neighbors say the man, 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia, was quiet and kept to himself. Eight people died and seven others were hurt in the shooting at the Allen Premium Outlets north of Dallas. Police shot and killed the suspected gunman. People who saw it happen say the shooter seemed calm throughout the entire attack.
We basically turned and watched, and as we were watching, the shooter goes right across. He's not running, but he's kind of in a deliberate assault type move.
One of the shooting victims, Christian LaCour, was working as a security guard at the mall. The Gun Violence Archive says there have been 199 mass shootings in the U.S. already this year.
New help may be on the way so you can get your refunds when your flight is delayed or canceled at airports, including at RDU, where you're looking live at the right side of your screen right there. President Biden plans to speak this afternoon about new efforts to protect people when there are unexpected changes to flight plans. This comes after recent major disruptions, including one over the Christmas holiday caused by weather and other issues.
The Carolina Hurricanes are looking ahead to game four of their playoff series with the New Jersey Devils. They're trying to forget what happened yesterday. The Canes went down big early Sunday afternoon in New Jersey. They ended up losing 8-4. Canes players, including Jordan Martinuk, chalked it up to a bad night for the team.
You go into a 50-50 battle, it's 50-50, and I feel like they were probably on, they were on the better side of a lot of them, and that doesn't happen with this group very often.
The Canes still have 2-1 lead in a best-of-seven series. Game four will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in New Jersey. And WRL's Casey Hintz is there. She'll have reports for us tomorrow on the Canes' game plan for game four.
One Charlotte man's dining experience became quite chaotic after he was grazed by a bullet. After the break, what authorities say led up to the shooting that left him and another person injured?
And why Lizzo is canceling another concert just days before she hits the stage at PNC Arena. Welcome back. 8:43 on your Monday morning. This is a live look at Pinehurst. You can see the flags whipping in the wind there. Might want to get your games in early if you're planning to hit the green today. And if you're planning to hit the green tomorrow, might have to change those plans. We do have a WRL weather alert day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner walks us through what we can expect.
Yeah, the time would be late afternoon, evening, especially for our southeastern counties. So that should leave a good chunk of the day and a good chunk of the area fairly rain-free for tomorrow. Wherever we do see the storms developing, especially south and east of the triangle, damaging winds would be the biggest threat. We'll take a look at the outline for our severe weather threat for tomorrow. Along and east of I-95 is where we'd have the best chance of seeing any thunder thunderstorms tomorrow. We do have a level one risk from, up around Roanoke Rapids all the way down towards Southern Pines. But it looks like that the bulk of this is going to develop along a cold front. This is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's likely to be pretty late in the day. And you can see that's 4 o'clock, and you can see really it's just our southeastern counties. And then after that, it slides eastward. The more runs of the computer models that we see out of this, the drier the system looks. And while a front comes through, which will bring us plenty of lift and energy in the atmosphere, we do have to have some moisture for it to work with to produce any thunderstorms. And it's looking a little less likely as we get through the morning. So we'll continue to watch. A lot of times the Storm Prediction Center will update that level one or two risk for severe storms around lunchtime. We'll let you know if there's any change whenever they do update that. Futurecast showing behind the front that we get into a cooler, drier pattern for Wednesday. Should feel fantastic. Right now, looking outside, we have gray skies. We'll see a few more holes in the clouds later this afternoon. 68 is our current temperature, so it's warm. It's muggier than it has been, certainly muggier than last week. Our temperatures climb into the mid to upper 80s for highs this afternoon. Right now, we have a little shower that's moved into just the southern part of Moore County and the northern part of Hook County. That continues to just slide on to the east, and it's going to bring just a sprinkle or two to folks down there in the sand hills. Beyond that, we're looking at the potential for just a little bit of sunshine to break out in spots, and then some showers that could develop around or just after lunchtime, and a band of thunderstorms that develops in our southern counties. And I'll tell you, the models are showing a better chance for rain today than they are tomorrow, but the Storm Prediction Center continues to keep us in that level one and two risk. And as long as we're in that risk, we'll continue to hang on to that weather alert day. Around town today, 87 in Raleigh, 86 Durham, 89 in Fayetteville. So it's going to be a warm day today. We add a little humidity to that, and it'll feel like 89 this afternoon. It'll feel like 91 tomorrow. But then look at Wednesday. Oh, we're just going to erase all that and move back into the 70s. Should feel pretty pleasant. It's all about how much moisture there is in the atmosphere. It's going to be tolerable to steamy the next couple of days, but we're back down to comfy with those dew points dropping into the 50s Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. First look at Mother's Day. It's going to be warm and sticky for Mother's Day, Saturday and Sunday, the whole weekend. And we do have just a chance of isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening, both days, Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be a very summer-like pattern once we get back to next weekend. Back to you.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. A Fayetteville man is facing a murder charge after a shooting. 54-year-old Elmer Spears is charged in the death of 27-year-old Nareesh Timmons of South Carolina. He's in jail without bond. Police say Timmons went to a home on Palomino Drive to buy drugs around 1:30 yesterday morning. There was an argument, and investigators say that's when Spears shot Timmons, who died at the scene.
This morning, we're hearing from one of the people who was hit by a bullet when a gun went off inside a North Carolina Cracker Barrel restaurant. John Chirac says he was about to order pancakes at the usually quiet and calm restaurant in West Charlotte last week. Moments later, his dining experience turned chaotic when he was grazed by a bullet.
And I hear a loud pop, and I felt like a nick go across my neck. And the waitress jumped back. I look around to see where the noise was coming from, and I see a gentleman bending down, and he's picking up what looked to be a 9mm.
Chirac says that's when he realized the man's gun accidentally went off when it fell to the floor. Authorities say a second man was shot in the leg and taken to the hospital. Chirac says the suspect walked outside like nothing happened and eventually got into a fight with a man outside. That person later turned himself in to police and is now facing charges.
A Raleigh man is working to rescue his wife and daughter from Sudan, where fierce fighting between military factions has left hundreds dead. Omar Abdurrahman left Sudan during a civil war back in 2005 and later arrived in Raleigh as a refugee. He became a U.S. citizen in 2019. He returned to Oman to get married. He and his wife now have a young child, and he says they're only about 8 miles away from where the fiercest fighting is happening.
It's really difficult. Like, it's always in my mind. I try to say not to think about it, but it's really hard to not to think about it.
Abdurrahman says he's looking for ways to get his wife and daughter here to the U.S., but he fears he may have exhausted his options.
We're working to learn more this morning about a teen's death at Cape Hatteras. Seashore law enforcement rangers say they're investigating after a 17-year-old became trapped inside a sand hole at the beach. They say it happened Saturday afternoon around 2. Rangers say they worked with the victim's family to pull the teen from the hole while performing CPR. The teen's name has not been released.
May is National Stroke Awareness Month, as stroke occurs when there is an issue with blood flow to part of the brain. And it's important to remember the acronym FAST to recognize some of the symptoms of a stroke. F is for face drooping, A is for arm weakness, S is for speech difficulty, and T is a reminder that it's time to call 911. But one doctor says that younger people who experience stroke symptoms will sometimes put off getting help because they think it's something less serious.
No age group is immune to having strokes. Stroke can happen to any age group, and we're surprisingly seeing a significant rise in strokes in young adults.
And Dr. Corral says living a healthy lifestyle and keeping up with annual doctor visits can reduce a person's risk of having a stroke.
Families enjoyed beautiful weather over the weekend at festivals all around our area, including the Phillips Farm Strawberry Festival in Cary. It was a welcome break after 8 weekends in a row with rain.
We go a little bit stir crazy inside, just trying to find indoor activities to do. And if we can catch breaks in the rain, we'll make it outside, even if we have to splash in the puddles.
And even though there was a rough start to the strawberry season, Phillips Farm says it was able to sell thousands of pounds this weekend.
Probably really good, too. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift fans might be getting some much-needed rest this morning after a long night. The third night of Swift's show at Nissan Stadium was delayed for more than 3 hours because of lightning in the arena. As fans waited in the stadium to return to their seats, Taylor tweeted new pictures and assured them she planned to see them soon. Swift hit the stage around 10 p.m. That concert ended just after 1 a.m. I bet you people did not mind, though.
No, they paid hundreds of dollars for that. This was a little heartbreaking, though. Singer Lizzo is delivering some tough news to her fans. The singer took to Instagram to tell fans that she has strep throat and has to cancel her show in Hartford. Lizzo said it hurts to swallow, even talk at times, but she says what hurts the most is having to cancel shows. This is the second show Lizzo has canceled in the past week, Montreal and Hartford. And she is on the schedule to perform in Raleigh at PNC Arena on Wednesday. It's still on as of now.
Yeah, fingers crossed that she feels better. Well, the 2023 MTV Movie TV Awards aired on Sunday, changing days prior to a pre-tape instead of the planned live broadcast. Here's Ashley Dvorkin with a recap.
Thank you, MTV.
The MTV Movie and TV Awards switched from a live show to a pre-taped special days before the broadcast. In a statement released Friday, Bruce Gilmer, executive producer of the show, said, "As we carefully navigate how best to deliver the fan-first award show we envisioned that our team has worked so hard to create, we're pivoting away from a live event that still enables us to produce a memorable night full of exclusive sneak peeks, irreverent categories our audience has come to expect, and countless moments that will both surprise and delight." The statement followed a tweet Friday by Writers Guild of America West planning to picket the show, but called that back when the show turned to pre-tape. Thursday, host Drew Barrymore stepped down from hosting the live show in support of the writers' strike.
Okay, today's the day, Josie.
Barrymore was featured in taped skits, kicking off the show as her never-been-kissed character Josie in big and small screen scenes from the past year. And she also won Best Host.
As a proud member of SAG, you know, I stand here before you tonight, you know, side by side with my sisters and brothers from the WGA.
Among other pre-recorded acceptance speeches, Comedic Genius Award recipient Jennifer Coolidge, who was one of several stars to mention the writer's strike. Last of Us won Best Show. Pedro Pascal, Best Hero. Pascal and Bella Ramsey took Best Duo.
I love entertaining you.
Other fan-voted Golden Popcorn winners included Tom Cruise of Top Gun Maverick for Best Performance in a Movie and Wednesday's Jenna Ortega for Best Performance in a Show. Best fight went to Gale Weathers versus Ghostface and...
What's your favorite scary movie?
Best movie went to Scream 6. In Hollywood, Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
How about Cruise of the Popcorn in the fighter jet? That's pretty good stuff. Before we head to break, winning lottery numbers here for you. We'll get another check on weather and traffic up next as well.